Good afternoon, everybody. It's March 19th, and it's been way too long since we last done this. Things have been a little bit crazy for me, and my co-host here, Corne, is on taking a vacation. And where are you? In the Bahamas or something, Corne? What are you doing?
Unfortunately, we are a bit restricted to stay in country right now because
So
in
you
the
have.
Netherlands, we aren't allowed to do a lot of things with COVID. We have a we have to stay inside
So
from 9 p.m. till 4 a.m. in the morning. So a bit different.
yeah.
So we are just going to stay in the Netherlands. We are going to different part of the country next week, but yes, a little bit different than my usual vacations.
So it's a stay, sounds like a staycation.
Yes,
You
it is
stay
a
at home.
staycation. Yeah,
All right. Well,
unfortunately.
that's just the times we live in now, you know.
Yeah, I'm not mad about the restrictions or anything like that. It's just next time, when I'm hopefully back in America, I can enjoy it a little bit more than because we are allowed again. So we'll see.
But that wasn't what the question I had for you today, Corne. But thank you
Sorry.
for sharing that with us. No, it's fine. The question I have for you, and maybe we can tie this, is just you're staying at home, right? Do you have any pets in your house that you keep you companion when your lady's not around or
I have one cat.
oh yeah? What's his
Yeah.
name? Its name, I should say.
It's a Dutch name, so that will sound different for all you guys, but his name is Dan.
Don.
Yeah, well, good job.
Yeah, that sounds. See a chill cat.
Sorry?
Is he a chill cat? Like he likes to, be around you guys, or he's just more like doing his own thing?
He's more like doing his own thing. He
What?
comes to you when he wants to, and if you pet him when he doesn't want to, he will let you know.
I got three cats and a ferret. So
Ferret.
all of my pets are named after Mets, So we have the oldest cat, her name is Shay. Then we have the middle cat, his name is Mookie, and the baby is
Nice.
Bobby V.
Bobby V.
And our ferret, her name is Franco. After John Franco, because my wife's a big John Franco fan, so
I
yeah,
like that.
so yeah, so is that that's a weird pet, right? Like a ferret. You guys don't have any ferrets out there?
Yeah, we do. Not as much. It's not as common, but we
What's the
do some.
strangest? What's the strangest pet that somebody owns? Like, I don't know if it's different, out there. If it's like the same type of pets here. But to you, what do you find is the strangest one that people all have?
Strangest one that I know of is a big spider, but
Like a tarantula, the hairy ones?
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't
Well,
get why you get it. I think you guys have that too, but
yeah.
goldfish, I never really understand why people would take
So,
goldfish.
not the small ones. I like the big ones, the kois.
Yeah, I
Those
can
are
get that,
cool.
but the small ones, yeah.
No, unless you're feeding it to like another animal, I don't see why people would have goldfish either. That's just weird.
Oh, Bill, be careful for the animal lovers who listens over here.
That's right. That's right. If you have a pet goldfish, I mean no offense.
Good job.
So now today's dorky topic that I want to go over because, and I see this all the time where like some people would see, they judge a player's defense by the fielding percentage, right? Now, Cornet, is fielding percentage really telling you how good a defender is or a player is defensively?
No. filling percentage is such a well, nonsense statistic, or how to say that? It is just useless.
It's just a formula, right? I mean,
It's just showing errors. And yes, errors aren't good, so yeah,
right.
it's
So here's the formula, just in case you don't have it in front of you. The fielding percentage equals putouts plus assists divided by putouts plus assists plus errors. So
exactly.
it's just, I mean, you can have a guy who has like a high fielding percentage. That doesn't necessarily say that he is a good defender.
No, because range isn't coming into the equation. Also, as you I've watched the game today, and it's all jury based, so to speak, because you have a score. So it's kind of a jury type sports thing in a non-jury type sports sport in baseball. I mean, statistics is very important for us. So,
That's true
and
because you have the official scorer who's judging whether or not there's an error or a hit.
yeah, exactly. So it's like gymnastics, something that is judged over there in a sports where I hate jury sports. I don't like the I don't like it that way. So yeah, I don't like fielding percentage. Plus, it doesn't say like maybe 1% of the game, and that's 1% of defense, and that's errors. You can stand in the center field. There's a fly ball coming at you, and you just put three steps to the right and let it drop, and it's not an error.
Yeah,
So,
I was gonna get to that too. I'm glad you brought it up though. It's really hard with the outfield fielding percentage. You think a guy they'll have like a fielding percentage close to 1,000, but that doesn't mean they're good. It's really hard to commit an error in the outfield, you know, with the official score.
yeah.
It's like you have to throw the ball at the fans or something. Like it's really difficult to get an error, a catching error against you
Yeah,
as an outfielder.
and it's way more difficult to get an error at short or third with the throws, with the an outfield throw. It's at times it happens when you get a runner moves on, so to speak, so gets another base. But
Right.
they don't need to make that, bang bang play throw that often. They mostly can just ease it a little bit in on singles. So, and shortstop have to make the throw all the time. You have to another if you throw a bad throw and an infielder picks it, then it could be an error with one first baseman. But it won't be with another.
Right.
So that's although outs above effort also don't take that part into it. But defensive
Well,
statistics are a little bit, it's still not
you're
perfect.
jumping the gun here
Yeah,
over
sorry.
your but no, go ahead.
Well, my point was that although defensive statistics improved mildly over the last couple of years, it's still, we don't really have a perfect solution for it yet. That was
No,
my.
yeah, we definitely don't have a perfect solution, but let's say you're just you're a big baseball fan, right? And you hear that the Mets traded to get a new center fielder. I don't know. Let's just say for the sake of, this conversation, they get Buxton. Okay, so what is the first thing you're going to look at as a fan to see if Buxton is a good outfielder, a good center fielder, or just how can you tell? Do you look at his fielding percentage? We established that we don't do that, right? Because fielding percentage for outfielders is very hard to judge how good they are. But what would you do, Corne? What's your steps? Walk me through it.
I dropped the ball already. So yeah, I'm going to a baseball seven page, and I look at not only outs above average, that's the main thing, but also why his outs above average are good. So is that because he has a good sprint speed? Is it because he has a good reaction time? This is
What I'm doing,
Raikou.
it
Those
right now. I just got onto the Baseball Savant page for Byron Buxton. Go ahead. So we're looking at the reaction, all that stuff, what you find under the fielding, right? You have to click the little tab to kind of see that, but.
All right, get it. Yeah, you have to go to fielding, yes, and
Yeah.
fielding step test.
Now,
So,
yeah, so I see that, and I see this OAA, and it has like a number next to it. I see that for last year, he had a 5 OAA. What does that mean? Like,
that's pretty good. That's 5 outs above average, so to speak, to say it. So he, if he, his catch probability percentage is maybe on the balls he gets 88%. I just say something off the top of my
he
head.
has a 90 estimated catch rate here, so.
Yeah. So if it's 88% and he's 90%, so that's 2% better
Well,
on.
he's got a 94% success rate.
Oh
His
wow, that's
estimated is
great.
90.
All
So,
right. Right. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm not having it in front of me, so
Now I know I'm just walking, so that way our listeners, when they go to the website, they understand what we're talking about here, because
all
we're just talking like, nonsense here, like just OAAs, estimated success rate. What is all that stuff? So that's what I'm kind of doing here. I'm painting the
well,
picture.
move on, moving on. That indicates that 4% of the league average center fielder, he makes 4% more of those catches than a league average outfielder. So then you can see the outs above average as a plus.
So the thing about estimated success rate that I've researched on, just so you know, because you're not too, because we're always learning, right? Estimated success rate varies from each player, and it's basically it takes into account like the hard, like difficult plays. Like there's an average, right? Of like how many. So for example, if the outfielder has a ball hit to him with a 70% catch probability, that's he gets added credit points, 25 credit. But if he misses, he gets negative 0.75, right? So, but there's different kinds of balls. There's hard plays to make, so that's where we get the player's success rate. It's based on their likelihood to catch the difficult, balls that are go there, or how difficult the ball is not really weighed. It's just based on their, you know what I mean? So, but it's good to know, right? That if a guy, I mean, common sense, if a guy has a success rate of 90% and he's getting 94, then he's doing something good. So, and now here's something that I found interesting, Corne. Outs above average is not the same for an infielder. We don't weigh it the same. Did you know that?
No, so tell me.
Yeah, so when we're talking about infielders, right? We're also trying to look at how far the fielder has to go to reach the ball. There's this thing called the intercept point. And that makes sense, right? If you're in the middle of the infield, you have to like run towards the ball, right? You have to catch the ball in the infield, and it's much harder to catch a line drive or ground ball than it is to catch a fly ball. So, right. And then it also calculates how much time he has to get there and how far he is from the base runner, how far he is from the base that the runner is headed to. So, example, he's at third base. The runner's going to first. These are all these. It's
Yeah,
a.
it takes everything into account in that play because I believe they also take the base runner into account, how fast he is, right?
Yes. Yep.
So, yes. So in that point, you can see why there are much more different variables in a play, which makes a play more difficult or more easy, which fielding percentage does nothing of that. So
Right.
that's a good explanation on I didn't knew that because yeah, it's outfield and infield is
But
obviously way different type of plays that could be made.
now, if a you know, because we're 20, 21, we like to play the shift, right? Does that have do you know if that has anything to do with outs above average for an infielder? Like, if the guy's a third baseman, but he's playing, close to second base, that would affect his outs above average?
Well, he's still seen as a third baseman because he's playing that position on that day. But it's the same like you explained right just now, is that they still take those distance to the base, all that types of things into account. But it's not that they take into account, hey, he's out of position, so that makes it that doesn't take any points or. They don't judge that differently because they are in a slightly different position than they learn. But it's still the distance, time of the runner, time, how long they have to throw. Those things are all equally
And
judged.
what I was trying to get at, Corne, is if you look at somebody like Nolan Arenado, he has a really high outs above average, as opposed to somebody who is a first baseman, right? That doesn't mean that the first baseman is a horrible first baseman. It's just that, we're looking at where the infielder plays. So you got to look at the average for that player and their position. And also, you need to keep into account how often this person is shifting, because if they're a third baseman and they're playing a lot of the time, they're being shifted, then that makes the outs above average look not as high. Does that make sense to you? So,
I think it's also a part that it's also a big part that how many plays you are in, the more plays you are in, and you're a bigger part of the more outs above average you can rack up, right?
So there's so much to factor in this, and this is why I think outs above average, even though it's not the perfect system, it really gives you a good sense of how good a player could be, right? Because when we're looking at stats, that doesn't mean that this player is going to be great. It's just saying this is the upside of that player. This is how good they could be. That's the way I see
Definitely.
it.
Yeah, definitely.
Some people out there, you got skeptics. You're like, oh, well, the guy's playing, and just because his outs above average is low, that doesn't mean anything, but it changes. It's just you gotta weigh in all these factors that we talked about earlier. There's just the position and all that stuff comes in. And maybe someday, in like 2 years, we'll get another defensive stat, right? Because we're coming up with new stats every day that can help us better judge these position players defensively. What do you
Yeah,
think?
I do believe that this particular statistics out above average will improve how they measure it, but it will be the same type of statistics, so to speak. I think they will move it forward, so to speak. So they will improve this stat, but it will be this stat in my estimation, in my guess. That outs above average will be the premier defensive stat. I think DRS and UZR are really having a pretty big step back in people estimating defense. It's not really that defensive run saved is a lot used right now. I don't see it that often anymore. On Twitter and things like that. So I think outs above average is there to stay with obviously with some improvements when they are able to. The smart people.
No, and another cool thing that I find about Baseball Savant is that not only do you see a player's outs above average, but you get to see how they move, how good they are moving to the left, moving to the right, moving backwards, moving forward.
Definitely.
And I think that's really helpful, because we can get a guy like Brandon Nimmo, and we can see, well, this guy is not a good center fielder, but hey, he's actually pretty good, moving to his I'm gonna look up his stats. I don't have it in front of me, but he's actually good moving to the left. So let's put him, out at
Yeah,
my
let's
brain's
go
not,
yeah.
right. Just put
A
him,
little bit closer
we're
to left field. Yes,
in right in
certainly.
right field because he in left right because he moves to the left pretty good.
Yeah.
There you go. And I think they also talked about this in spring training news that he's gonna start playing the ball more. Is it more deeper now because he had a hard time
Right.
going back on the ball so he can get
Yeah.
in front of it.
Exactly.
So
That's it.
if you go look at the leaders board, when you see that, you can see all these, and you can sort, by team and stuff, and you can see how their outs about average and moving around, which is really helpful, I think.
Yeah, that's the main plus. It's the main plus that you don't just look at, hey, this is his outs above average. Oh, cool, he's great. But you can really look where, because it also shows, a table where you can see if he's plus one and going back and plus three and going in, et
Right,
cetera,
and
et cetera.
that's the
And
table I'm referring to.
yeah, exactly. That's super useful. Like I mentioned, Kevin Pillar in recent podcast, his main issue is getting back on balls, and it's something that you don't often really see when you look at it. Also, his reaction time is bad. So this just shows, hey, you don't look at just at Kevin Pillar and think, outs above average is pretty bad. I didn't expect that. All right, and go on. You want to know why he went from a really good center fielder to a, well, below average center fielder over the last couple of 3 years. And now you can, we as fans can look up and see why that is. And now you can look, I looked at Kevin Pillar in a couple of spring training games, and I noticed now that he's still playing fairly in because he likes doing that. But he had a couple of plays that went where he went back on it, where I thought he was pretty iffy or reacted a bit late. So you can focus more on that, from, hey, can I now see what I just read on the stats? So it helps me view a baseball game maybe more efficiently, looking at valuing a outfielder's defense.
Yeah, and that's what makes stats so fun to me, Corne, is that you can get lost. You can do a lot of research on one player just by clicking at his name and just scrolling through different ways to look at something. And to me, I play a lot of fantasy baseball, and that's my secret is I like to research all these things. Not defense doesn't help you, but I like to look at these other factors so I can get a good sense of a player's upside. Because that's what the stats tell you. The stats are there to tell you that what the upside of a player is, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, and so unfortunately, I've been so crazy busy. I haven't been able to watch too many spring training games. I did catch the last few innings of the game today. But I'm gonna let you start because I know you've been watching a lot more. You've been following much more than I have recently. So let's talk about the early about today's game, if you'd like.
Well, main thing of today's game, in my opinion, was Taijuan Walker. Taijuan Walker looked really good. I think he had a really sharp slider today, mixing in his pitch as well, mixing in more of his very slow curveball around 71 miles per hour, spotting it well, throwing good fastballs over the inside corner to lefties. I was really impressed with Taijuan Walker today. And I know you aren't a big fan of Taijuan Walker. You think he's pretty good, but it's not
Well,
much
I
your
actually
main.
like his stat line. I think in four innings, he got one hit, one walk, and three strikeouts. For a guy who's not, a strikeout artist, that's a pretty impressive line,
Yeah,
especially for
definitely.
spring training. So,
And he also got some, soft contact, which is important.
Right, and that's just the nature of his game is that soft contact.
So I was really impressed with Tyrone Walker and with Carrasco Nils. I think he needs to step it up together with Stroman, who also looks amazing this spring. And Stroman looks really, really good.
He is pitching not like his usual self. He is striking guys out, Corne.
Yeah, but
I love it.
he's using a little bit slightly more of a four seamer on top of the zone, but also that new split change, it's filthy with that slider, with everything is
Yeah.
moving. It's beautiful to watch. I always liked watching Stroman, but this year it's he's just
I agree with you.
he's added that one pitch more, and I really think I he will have a terrific season.
And he's also following DeGrom a lot too. So he's trying to see what DeGrom does good and try to use that. And he says it. He's like DeGrom's biggest fan when he's watching him, do a bullpen session, which I think is real good for him.
As everybody should, right? Yeah,
Right. You learn from the best and you can step it up. So
you never know how much time you have with a certain player. So if you can see the best out there, be as close to him as you can, as much as you can, because it's up
yeah.
to Jacob if he allows it, which he does.
Yeah, I
But
think he's a good man, with his colleagues. I think he's a good teammate. You never hear anything bad about him.
no, I agree.
So Oswald looked pretty bad today, huh?
Oswald had a slim chance to make the team after a very good first outing, but he put himself right back to where I think. With all due respect for Corey Oswalt, I'm not a big Corey
Yes, of course.
Oswalt guy, so I think he should be in AAA. And to me, it was, he had one good outing. And I know as a manager, you have to rave about your players, but I thought it was overblown, to hear about Corey Oswalt in that factor after one good outing. Came back to earth a little bit today.
Yeah, I mean, and it's weird, right? Because he pitched, was it one? He one inning and 1.2 innings. He got taken out, and Hildenberger came in for just for that one out, and then he came back for another inning.
That's the new spring training rule, but
Yeah, so just so like our viewers who didn't watch the game get a sense, our listeners get a sense of what the stat line is. He hit 2.2 innings, 5 hits, 5 runs, five all earned, one walk, one strikeout, and 2 home runs. And he's not doing too hot. So, but you know who is doing hot?
Well, tell me.
I don't know if you heard this guy, Edwin Diaz.
Yeah, my man,
People
the good
lost faith in Diaz, and I'm looking at his numbers. I've only seen him pitch, I think, once. Since I can't really watch it, but he looks like so confident when I saw him.
Yeah,
Like
I
his
guess.
demeanor, I feel like it's changed a little bit.
Well, he 2019 was just a combination of bad luck, new team, a slider that just didn't work,
A juice ball.
juiced ball, definitely, because I think his grip on his slider was affected by the juiced ball, by the seams. I think
Yep.
it's a possibility.
It's a
So,
different feel. It's a different feel to the ball. So, and he doesn't necessarily give up soft contact either. So a guy who gives up hard hit rates and he can't feel the ball, he's going to throw meatballs out there, and that's what happened.
That was that. Yeah, exactly. But when he's on, he's dominant. Yes, he can allow some hard hits contact, hitters just don't really get a lot of contact anyways, because his strikeout stuff is always elite.
He blows them away.
He blows them away, and it's just
Yeah.
people, trust me. Go ahead and trust Edwin Diaz. Every closer is going to blow a save someday, somewhere. Even the best closers do that. So now don't be worried if he allows a game-tying home run or anything. It happens. Trust the man.
Yeah, he is definitely one of the most dominant arms out there. I would say next to Hader, he's got the most dominant stuff for a closer.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. Stuff-wise, no doubt.
He's really young too. So it's like, you know, a lot. What I've noticed, Corey, a lot of pitchers when they hit 27, there's like a magic that happens. I don't know if it's a sense of growing up and being an adult at age 27. You just start being more mature the way you think, but they put things together at that age. He's still not there yet. So young pitchers, it's hard to really judge them because they're still figuring it out, right? And in Diaz's case, he had to figure out the juice ball being traded to a different team, like all this thing that came in, and now that he's figuring it out and he has the stuff, we're gonna have a lot of good years from him, and people are gonna forget about 2019, and they're gonna buy his jerseys, and you know they're gonna love him.
I hope so. On the other end, people hated Familia when he was really good for us. So,
well, because
people tend to hate closers because they
that's a when they, it's a hard job,
huh?
That's a hard job.
It's a hard job. When you allow a run, it's important because you are in there in close games. But every closer allows run. Even Devin Williams allowed a run last year. It was amazing. So the best will do that. People screaming for Brett Hand, he allowed runs. I saw him in 2019 allow two runs and get a blow save at City Field. So he does that too. So it's part of the job. It's part of being a pitcher. Jacob deGrom also allow runs, by the way. He does. So
he does.
And he's the most dominant pitcher I've ever seen in person. So
He's definitely one of the best. I've also seen too. So
it's part of the game. But it's like, and I'm going to put out a soccer reference in right now, because that's the big sport.
Go for it.
I'm not a big fan of soccer, for everybody who's going to hate me because I put a soccer reference in. But it's like the goalkeeper makes a mistake. If he makes one mistake, it's a goal. If a striker makes one mistake, it's not that big of a deal. He can miss the ball, and then, we can move on, you know?
Right, right.
He's going to lose the ball or anything like that, moving on. But when the goalie does it, it's a goal. And that's like with the closer. If you allow a run with one run lead in the ninth, it's tie game. Or you can lose the game and it's immediately done. But that's part of being a closer. And I hated it when Familia was hated on so much when he was a pretty dominant closer.
I don't like it when people hate so hard. I mean, yes, you don't like the guy, you don't like one of the players, but you know, you've seen what they can do. Like, you can't just pick and choose how you view them. If they do good, you got to give them credit, right? I mean, Familia went through a streak, like one of the longest streaks of consecutive saves, you know, that it rolled over to the other season, but we can't forget about that streak, you know.
Definitely, he was one of and yes, people were mad because he walked people. Well, he got the job done.
Yeah,
it's like closers can allow base runners.
Right, but a batter can strike out. Nobody bats an eye, right? But closer gives up a run or allows a walk, and it's like, oh my god. It's really hard.
It's even so with starters. If starters allow a run and they go six innings and allow three runs and battle through a couple of innings, we say, oh, well, he battled through, allowed just three runs. It's a pretty good start.
Yeah.
Well, when a closer allows three runs to six innings, that's bad. You don't want it in your closer, but it's
still technically a quality start. I mean, not, you know, it's not a start, but that's the number for a quality start, right? Six under three runs.
Exactly.
So.
I mean, obviously, a bullpen guy needs to limit runs more than some starters because of the role they have. But still, it's, you know, to put it in perspective, where
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
Well,
that was
let's talk about something. As soon as we're done, I'll let you wrap it up so we can let people, their blood are boiling right now, I'm sure. So let's before, you know, they get too mad and burst a blood vessel, let's talk about something that's a little bit more. Everybody likes Pete Alonso, right? Have you? Well, I would say at least 90% of the people like Pete Alonso.
Well, yeah, I hope so. I hope it's more, but hey.
I mean, there's a percentage out there who don't believe in him because of his sophomore slump last year.
Yeah, sophomore slump with 16 home runs in 60 games.
Right, he was like top 10 in home runs.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's like, look at what he's doing now. It's like, okay, all you naysayers out there who doubted in Mr. Alonso and you thought like, yeah, we got to trade him because we got Dominic Smith. Yeah, Pete Alonso is out there and he's doing his thing. He's getting on base, which is amazing. That's the key thing, is to see Alonso get on base a lot.
Yeah, no
he
doubt.
He has a 400 yeah. batting average right now, a 500 on base percentage. Oh, wait, am I looking at the right thing? Yeah, I think that's spring training. Sorry, I'm looking at the stats. Yeah. And, you know, he's slugging .867, three home runs. He is hot.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is the Pete you want to see, you know, driving the ball, hit the ball hard. He's not chasing as much, but we also need to understand that he is a type of hitter that gets, like every hitter, but I think in Pete's case, he gets through a little bit hard and cold.
Those streaks?
Yeah.
He's a streaky hitter?
Yeah, like a lot of players are. So, yeah, last
right.
year he started out cold. And, yes, in a 60-game season, it's hard to put it, you know, to even it up in 60 games. And we see that
well,
in a lot of...
He has so much to like live up to after like being the you know, home run rookie king. That's a lot of pressure for a guy, right? I mean, you go back
yeah.
home, the season's over, and now everybody is expecting you to hit like 70 home runs this year.
Yeah, but,
or at least be on pace to hit 70, I should say, because you know, we had a short season.
Yeah, but still, you know, even with that, even with the pressure, I don't. Yes, he put a lot of pressure on himself because the team also wasn't really playing well. And I think him in this type of lineup he has right now is also, for him, a really good thing because he doesn't need to do it all by himself. He didn't need to do it last year, but I think it felt for him like he had to. So
yeah.
Hopefully he's learned from that. But, you know, we have he has a lot of protection behind him. And in front of him, so it's.
And the thing is, he doesn't need to go out there and hit home runs. Like he's already such a hard hitter that he just has to hit line drives and they'll leave the yard.
Yep.
So, and I'm looking at his minor league. Like he had a really good on base percentage throughout his minors, and I feel like that's a good sign that Alonso has the upside to like put up a high on base percentage. And just crushed the ball. He was like 114 miles per hour, a hard hit exit velocity. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yes. Yeah, we all know when he connects, it's not like a lot of other hitters can do. It's different when Pete collects. And yeah, he just has to do his thing. You know, also accept when he is in a bit of a slump, because he is really hard on himself. If I can judge that from being watching the TV,
yeah, I agree with you.
So if you just do his thing, yeah, you get two slumps, but still do your thing, do what you do best, And that's and still in slumps, he should be able to hit like 7 home runs in a month, because
Yeah.
then he would still will connect a couple of times. So I'm not worried about Pete at
Yeah,
all.
I mean, if he's keeping up his strikeout to walk rate that he's doing now, if that translates into the regular season, then and I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. I think he can finish amongst the top for the NL MVP. I know you don't like the
MVP.
jokes, but yeah.
Oh my God.
I'll let
Well,
you pick a player because I don't want to keep talking about all the players. You've watched more than I have.
oh, a big player. Yeah. Well, one player I think is a little bit more under the radar and has been pretty darn good.
Ooh, who is it?
It's Yamamoto. I think he's a guy who gets a little bit more attention now with Carrasco out. But I
Yeah.
really, really like what he has done. Doesn't allow a lot of hits. Doesn't walk a lot of guys. He's not a great strikeout pitcher, but soft contact, and his pitches just spin like crazy. So. I mean, that's all. I mean, in my opinion, that's also always fun to watch. So, I'm pretty intrigued by Yamamoto. Pretty intrigued by how he's performing right now.
Yeah,
And
and that's a good, especially like you said with Carrasco, because that's I'm hearing like 6 to 8 weeks he might miss now. So, see,
that's tough. It's a tough
this
one.
is
I
why
mean.
we need all that depth piece, man. And I would be
Obviously.
panicking right now if we didn't have Lucchesi and Yamamoto. I'm telling you the truth right now.
No doubt. Lucchesi is another guy who looks terrific this spring. And I'm honestly a little bit concerned about David Peterson. So having Yamamoto and Lucchesi, they will be important for us, especially in the first couple of months. And I hope
Yeah.
Peterson will join that group being terrific as well. But his last start, I mean, it wasn't just the runs he allowed, but it was the hard hit contact he allowed in Peterson's last start.
Well,
And
we talked about his expected ERA and his xFIP, and that's like where the stats come into play. It's like this is what they predict, is that because of the heart. What he's done, this is what it should be. And unfortunately, this is called recession in the stats, right? They're recessing to what their normal should be. That doesn't mean it's always going to be there, though. He still has the opportunity to go to the minors and like work on it.
And maybe it's not like David Peterson is a terrible pitcher. He showed a lot of
No,
good things
definitely.
also last year. I mean, he also showed his ability to get out of jams, which doesn't show in xFIP, and we have seen that numerous time that when the tough gets tough, he get going. So
Yeah.
that's a big part of his success last year. So and that's not something that's, I mean, it's in him. He has that ability in him in a rookie season where the pressure is on to execute his pitches. So it's not like at this point I say Peterson won't make the squad or won't be in the rotation. But yes, I have a slight concern about him. But with Lucchesi and Yamamoto doing well, it's going to be pretty interesting in my estimation on who will make it.
Yeah, and then who not only who will make it, but long term when Carrasco gets back and Noah Syndergaard gets back, is who was good enough to stay in the bullpen? What moves the corresponding mo moves the Mets need to make? You know what I mean? That's going to be interesting. Because
Definitely.
yeah, if they do well now, that's great. But they need to keep doing well because it's going to be an indicator as to what could happen when all these guys get back.
Yeah, that's we also know the saying that it also always works out. We don't know what happens in between. So It's a pipe dream to get them all five back, but we don't know that for certain, obviously. And could be something happening to other pitchers, or and also with the with some maybe some restrictions on arms, not the Grom. I think he can go. I think Stroman also shows that he can go as much as possible. But we maybe also have guys who are somewhat on a innings restriction, like Taiwan Walker, who obviously hasn't thrown more than 170 innings in a season. So we need those all those three guys anyways. However, this will all pan out with the arms in a rotation we have at any certain point. We need all three of those guys to do well. So let's hope on that.
What's going on with McNeil? I'm looking at his batting average, not looking too hot, but he's been getting on base a lot because he got hit three times today.
Yeah, I'm not worried about McNeil at all. He's a good hitter. So,
Any hitters you are worried about?
hitters? No, not really. I think our main MLB hitters are hitting pretty well. I think JD Davis is walking a lot. Alonso is doing his thing. McCanish and Nido 3 for 3 today with a homer. So very pleased with our backstops. Dom isn't hasn't great doesn't have great numbers, but gets his home runs, gets his hard hits. So no, I think our offense, although they don't score a lot of runs, look pretty good. Lindor is heating up at the right time. So.
Oh, he is getting red hot. Was it two straight games with home runs? A grand salami today?
Grand Slammy today. Yeah, I think he had a 3-run homer his game before, but a couple of 2-hit games, hitting the
Dude
ball
stole a
hard.
base today.
Yeah. So,
Dude, we call that a combo, when you can hit a home run and steal a base. In fantasy, if you're a fantasy baseball guy, you want a guy who can hit home runs and steal bases. And, seeing that, it's like, oh, yes, that's good. Well, he got
yeah.
caught today, actually, but I think he stole yesterday.
The day before then, but yeah, fantasy baseball. I have tried it a couple of years, but I always was asleep before the lineups were out, so I couldn't do anything. So
Well,
that's
you can do weekly leagues. That'll probably be easier for you, where,
oh
just once a week you set it up and you're locked in for the week. That's the only problem. So somebody gets injured, but
yeah. Well. Yeah, that's better.
yeah. So, yeah, anything else you want to talk about, Corne? Because again, you've been watching the game, so I'll let you, we can go for another 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, I will do a final thought about a arm that I was really impressed with when I saw him only through 1 inning, but I think he could be very useful for us as a role as Vizcaino. Who really,
Yes.
really looked strong in this inning. The spin rates, the velo, coming off an injury, it was all there for him. And that guy was pretty good when he was with the Braves.
He
So
was.
I don't see a difference in Vizcaino in that spring outing than in his Braves days. So if that guy is healthy, I think he should be in the bullpen, honestly. I don't I you know I've thought about Betances a lot, and I know Betances is owned 6 million this year, right? But I don't see at this point I don't see any upside in Dylan
His
Betances.
velocity is concerning, man.
Yeah, and I don't it was bad last year for his but he also doesn't really provide any swing and miss stuff, which was his main attraction. So I honestly I hate to be negative, you know that I'm
No, of
always
course. You love your pitchers too. You're
yeah
a strong advocate for them, so
definitely, but Sorry, Dylan, but I just don't see it in him. And I rather just throw that 6 million away and, have a guy like Drew Smith or all
Well,
this fiscal,
you're not paying
or
for it, so you don't have to pay
no,
for it, right? So
true. But
I'm sure.
even then, I think, yeah, what you want, the 6 million you have to pay anyways. So
Right.
you I mean, I still want to have the best player out there. And if I don't see anything happen for Betances to improve, if and I don't see it, maybe insiders, pitching coaches, maybe our friend Jeremy Hefner sees something in it, but I just don't see it. So
Right.
then
And
I think it's better to cut him loose and have a guy like Fiskane, who I really impressed was in his loan out here.
the front office has changed from last year. I mean, we're not dealing with the Wilpon era anymore. We're dealing with Cohen, who's voiced that he wants to win a World Series within the next, what, 3 or 4 years, 5 years. So I think that, like, if he's not gonna, these players are not gonna get as much slack as they used to have, because Cohen, he has the funds to cut a guy, that's, 6 mil. That's they can cut the guy. He's not going to cut Cano, I don't think. 20 mil, that's hefty, but 6 mil for to make sure that you got the right team there.
Yeah.
I can see that happening.
Yeah, I see it too. And you're replacing with somebody who is cheap, because you're replacing with somebody who is a on a minor league deal, or who knows, still in his minimum wage, in a minimum paid minor league years, like Drew Smith, for example. I use him as an example. So still, you still pay 6 million for somebody who will likely give better results and maybe also develop into a good major league reliever for the next couple of years. I
That's a good
mean,
way of looking at it. It's like, yeah, you're dumping the 6 mil, but now you get to showcase another guy in the minors, or who was blocked.
yeah, exactly.
And who's at the league minimum, which is what, 500,000 or something like that. So you're
Yeah.
not really losing much.
No,
You, the way you
exactly.
say it, you're just paying this guy, the way you see it, you're just paying $6 million to have this guy, 6.5 mil to have this guy pitch, which isn't too bad, if he's lights out.
Yeah, plus you see something, I mean, I use Drew Smith as an example. We don't we really don't really see enough of Drew Smith, in my honest opinion, to really judge him. But at this point, he's also, again, maybe most likely heading back to the minors, where we don't see him again. I think at some point you want to see what Drew Smith can do, if he can be a part of your future bullpen, if he can be a guy who you can trust going into the season next year. I think that's important. You have to develop those relievers as well.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Betances is a guy who is blocking him right now, like you mentioned. So,
Yeah. Well, man, it's been too long. It was great talking baseball. I needed this so bad, with all the how busy I've been, and I'm sure, you also enjoyed it too. So
had a blast, man. It was too long ago, and I mean, we have to try our best to both to don't make as much of a gap in our episodes like we did right now. I get
Right, we
it,
missed it.
though.
We're a week overdue, so we should do a next one very soon, to make up for that. And Jem isn't here to bully me this time, so we're good. Oh, but I do have a question for you. How about Sam McWilliams? I'm just kidding.
Sam McWilliams is sent down.
Yeah, I know. I was just picking on myself from the last show.
Yeah. It's a good question though, Sam McWilliams. I think we haven't had a name that was mentioned as much as Sam McWilliams in our shows.
In our,
I think
yeah, I think so.
Sam McWilliams should be proud, because now I mentioned Sam McWilliams like 6 times in the last 2 millions, 2 minutes. So yeah, Sam McWilliams should listen to us to hear the name Sam McWilliams a lot.
Yeah, Sam, if you're listening, you have your biggest fans are here at MetsJunkies.com. At Dorky Mets Show, we love you. All right, so keep doing your thing, and I hope to see you soon.
Way to go, man.
All right, that's a wrap. Everybody, thanks for listening. Corny, obviously, you know, this has been a pleasure. I hope you have a nice weekend and you enjoy your staycation, and we'll be in touch soon.
Yeah, we'll do, man. Talk soon. Thanks, everybody.
All right.